ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm David Marr, host of Late Night Live on Radio National.
Very suave, erudite kind of guy.
We're here to surprise, delight, and maybe enrage you from time to time. We go where our curiosity leads.
Let's talk crazy. Let's act crazy. Let's be crazy, because then the enemy doesn't know what you're thinking.
Late Night Live, 4 new shows a week on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's this Australian video that went viral. You may have seen it. It's known as A Succulent Chinese Meal. It's a remarkable, spontaneous performance given by the late Jack Carlson, who died in 2024. Hello, Hilary Harper bringing you ABC Rewind. And today we're following Lawrence Bull as he meets the man who declared to the police and to the world, "This is Democracy Manifest." And a warning, this episode contains some strong language, adult themes and graphic descriptions, so it's not one for little ears.
You just assured me that I could speak.
Sit down inside the car. We're not assuring anything. We're under arrest.
Look, I'm under what? Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
The first time I came across this video, I had to go back and re-watch it a few times. It's hard to describe what makes it one of the most engaging videos on the internet.
Have a look at the headlock here. See that chap over there? Get your hand off my penis!
Watching it, I feel like I'm watching an absurd comedy and a great documentary rolled into one. The rarest of mashups.
This is the bloke who got me on the penis before.
Get some cups.
Why did you do this to me?
Pop in the car.
Get some cups.
For what reason? What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
If you haven't seen it before, here's what happens. The man being escorted to the police car has a handlebar mustache and looks to be in his late 40s. He immediately reaches out and shuts the car door and turns to wander off. When an officer opens the car door again and reaches for him, he gives an indignant look and slams the door closed again. The whole time, he's trying to put his sunglasses on.
Oh, that's a nice headlock, sir. Yes. I see that you know your judo well.
He's outraged that he won't get a chance to address whoever's behind the camera. But then, as he stands steady, while 6 police officers try to force him into a car, all he has to say is nonsense.
And you, sir, are you waiting to receive my limp penis? How dare get your hands off me?
Finally, they tip him backwards like a tall piece of furniture and ease him in diagonally. As his head starts to dip out of sight, he says,
"Ta-ta and farewell."
Surely no innocent person would act like this. But it makes no sense that a guilty person would act like this either. I had the same questions as hundreds of the comments below the online video.
What's the backstory to this?
What did this guy do?
Where and when did this happen?
And why was he behaving like that?
What was he even arrested for?
Who was this guy?
What happened to this legendary man?
Some people said it was staged, maybe cut from a TV show.
Is this real?
Other people said it was a reenactment for a crime show.
Who is this guy?
Who is this guy?
The most popular theory was that the man was an eccentric chess master named Paul Charles Dozer, who was famous for running out of restaurants without paying. He'd bragged that he held the world record for dining and dashing. And that's the theory that took off.
Dozer's hilarious delivery and defiant attitude made him something of a folk hero in the eyes of many Australians, who consider him to be a lovable rogue.
Newspapers and magazines like Who Weekly, New Idea and the Daily Mail ran articles on Dozer, stating that he was the man in the video.
Yes, this guy wasn't just some crazy old man. He was actually a chess champion.
Dozer would impress them with his vast knowledge of fine food.
But some commenters weren't convinced.
This is not Paul Dozer.
Dozer had died in 2003, but people who claimed to know him said he spoke with a thick Hungarian accent.
Well, I knew Paul Dozer, and this is not him.
We're sure it's not him. Not even close.
Nothing like him.
So who is this legend?
This is Dozer explaining his dine and dash behaviour to the ABC a few years after the arrest video was made.
The Hungarian Military Strategic Mine Research Organization controls my energy field through a Soviet Union satellite. I know it sounds unbelievable. You are linked.
The more I learnt, the more questions I had. But nobody came forward with a better explanation. So, despite millions of views over many years, it seemed like the identity of the man and the reason for his bizarre arrest would remain a mystery. Until late 2019, when another video appeared online.
You ready?
Yep.
What do you want me to say?
Democracy Manifest.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
Get your hands off my penis.
And also get your hand
out. It's him, the man who was arrested outside the Chinese restaurant. He's indoors, sitting down, eating at a table. He's 30 years older, but it's finally him. But there's no explanation. We're not told who he is, where he is, nothing. 6 months later, another video appears on YouTube.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Mr. Democracy Manifest, not some Hungarian chess player. It is I.
It's him again. This time he's alone, talking directly to the camera. He says his famous arrest outside the restaurant had been a case of mistaken identity, and he'd acted that way because he wanted the police to put him in an asylum where he could easily escape. Then he plays an old news report from the time of his infamous arrest.
When Cecil George Edwards was arrested in the Chinatown Mall last Friday, the Valley Police thought they had one of Queensland's most wanted. Instead, he was a petty criminal working under several aliases, the police allege, a con man with a flair for acting.
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal? Oh, that's a nice headlock, sir.
Oh. I can't make sense of this news story. Heaps of police showed up, media in tow, and arrested this man, thinking he was one of Queensland's most wanted. He wasn't the criminal they were looking for, but by amazing coincidence, he was also a wanted criminal. And he just happened to be committing a crime right at the moment they mistakenly caught him. How does that happen? What are the odds? But now, there's a lead. He's selling merchandise plastered with pictures and quotes from his famous video.
Get your hand off my penis. Rather, go and clasp a bottle of this wonderful Pinot Noir.
So after a few emails and a lot of waiting, I get him on the line.
Hello, Lawrence. My name's Jack and I have many other aliases.
It's good to talk to you.
Yeah.
Let's go to that time in the 90s when they took you out of the restaurant. What were you doing in the restaurant?
I had a mate with me. We were having a good feed, which it was a restaurant I used to go to quite often. Next moment, they've ran in. I knew they had the wrong bloke, so I thought, well, why not let them think that I'm a lunatic? So that's why I was uttering all these things, get your hand off my penis, and because I remember once I got into a place, I had me drill going into the safe, and they fell on me, the police. Got me back to the police station and I'm giving them cheek and they're bashing me. They used to love bashing you. So I'd pull me dick out and say, keep hitting me again, I love it. Come on, hit me again. And I'd keep trying to masturbate as they're smashing me. And they sent me to the Good and the Lunatic Asylum. And I escaped from there quite easily.
So that was your plan. So that's where get your hand off my penis came from.
Maybe. They were looking for a Hungarian chess player, Doza. Once we got back to the police station, of course, they found out that I wasn't this Hungarian dash and diner, and they gave me bail.
This doesn't make sense. How could the police have possibly mistaken him for Doza? Also, Doza's crime was running out on restaurant bills. There was no way he was one of Queensland's most wanted. And you wouldn't send a small army of police officers to arrest him.
You were using stolen credit cards at that time, or what was going on?
No. I did nothing wrong in the restaurants. I love a restaurant.
Didn't you have to pay bail?
Oh, yeah, of course. That was when they charged me with resisting arrest.
They said they also charge you with fraud and receiving stolen property.
Did they?
That's what they said in the paper.
I don't understand why Jack doesn't just acknowledge the fraud charges. But he's not talking, or he genuinely doesn't know. So I leave it for now.
And they call you Cecil Jerry Edwards.
Oh, you're going back to when I was 16 years of age. That was my name.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because this was in 91 that I'm talking about.
I'm going back to 1958. You weren't even alive then.
Yeah.
I was with a couple of blokes and they robbed a place and I was in the back seat drinking Brandovino. That's all we could get in them days. And they arrested us. So I had a trial and I thought I'd defend myself. What an idiot thing to do. Imagine me, a 17-year-old boy. I was actually cross-examining the coppers in courts like some lawyer. The other two older blokes said, yeah, we're guilty. We're guilty. I said, I know nothing about it. I'm not guilty. So I got 5 years in jail when I was 70 years of age. The blokes who done the crime got 3 years.
No way. It's odd to me that Jack would laugh at something so distressing. But he does it so often during our conversation that I stopped noticing. Jack went to Boggo Road Jail, maximum security and notorious for its brutal conditions.
And they put me in a cell with two other boys and the food was disgusting. And I said to them, I said, come, mates, we can't eat this one tonight, but we're hungry, we'll have to eat it. And we all had diarrhea. In those days, cells didn't have toilets or sinks or anything, and the shit tub, it was overflowing, we were vomiting. So I've knocked up on the door and I said, screw, can we have another shit tub, please? They said, no, one cell, one shit tub. So then I just threw a bucket of shit over the chief warder. Here, cop this. Well. They come in, they flogged me, and they put me in what they call the Black Peter. Not many people have been in the Black Peter. There's a huge trapdoor. You go down these steps into a dungeon, I think, and it's all dark. You're only on bread and water. That was horrible. Oh, I don't want to think about this.
Jack says the Black Peter was the worst thing he'd ever experienced. He'd bang on the doors and fight with the guards just so he could see the light for a few minutes while they bashed him. The man in the cell next to him had been there for months. He finally lost his mind and was hauled off to an asylum. Jack still has nightmares about the Black Peter. He still sleeps with the lights on. After that, he couldn't tolerate being in the cell anymore. Being locked up, he felt he couldn't breathe. He had to get out.
I was being escorted from Boggo Road in a train. I was handcuffed to some other bloke. I say to myself, I'm not going to front on this blue. I was pretending to be asleep and the copper opposite me, he's nodding off a bit, so I've just undone the handcuff with the prong of me belt, tippy-toed down the corridor and leapt out of the bloody train. It's a wonder I didn't smash into a bloody signal post or something. But from there I was careful. I'd just stay in the bush of a day and of a night I'd walk. Managed to get a car and I ended up in Sydney anyway. And it was so beautiful, the breeze, that air. I met a beautiful woman. I married her. I had a child to her. All I wanted to do was live a decent life. I didn't want screws hitting me with batons. I didn't want to be in Black Peters. I didn't want to be told what to do. And I got out and it was so beautiful.
After he tells me about his time in prison, I start to understand Jack's behaviour in the video. He was traumatised in custody, and he was prepared to take big risks to avoid going back. I want to keep him talking. He isn't about to own up to any crimes in the restaurant, but I want him to tell me enough about his criminal history so I can figure out what he might have been up to inside the restaurant before his famous diatribe.
Eventually, a bloke said to me, "Mate, we can open a safe this way. We didn't rob the poor. We only robbed the scum that are robbing us, the banks and the other vermin."
Jack got 4 years for safe-cracking. He ended up in French Island Prison Farm in the middle of Western Port Bay, outside Melbourne.
The governor called me and he showed me all these photos of prisoners who tried to escape, eaten by sharks or drowned. "You can't get away from here." "Oh, well, I don't want to get away from here, Governor. It looks like a wonderful paradise." But as soon as I got there, there's me mate, Pete, working in the vegetable garden. 2 days later, me and Pete, we just took off.
Jack and Pete walked overnight, down by the water, so the tide would cover their footprints by morning. After dodging search patrols for a week, they came across a motorboat, circling aimlessly in shallow water.
And then all of a sudden we heard this bum 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 bum. "What the fuck's that?" Gone out, leapt aboard, and there was a bloke asleep. I woke him up, he said, "You must be them prisoners that escaped, huh?" Took us across to the mainland. What a good man. What a good man. A Scotchman. He was a Scotchman. There's such a beautiful thing when you can escape from tyranny. God, I felt so good. I had to steal a couple of cars to get back to Sydney, and then we tried to get acquitted. Eventually got pinched.
Jack and his mate got caught cruising Parramatta late at night with safe breaking tools. So at the courthouse, waiting for his trial to start, Jack put on a performance, a bit like the one outside the restaurant. He pretended to be a cop.
It was a big cell with about 20 people in it, and I pretended to walk in and look like a detective. I was only 25. I grabbed me mate. I said, "Open this cell door. You know who I am, Detective Sergeant Rogers. Open this door. I'm taking this man round to the forecourt." Other blokes in the cell were saying, "You copper dog, Rogers." Because I G'd him up. And I've grabbed me mate. He said, "I'm not going." And I've had to give him a couple of punches like coppers normally do. And he opened the door. Away we walked. I got 8 years for that. But that's life, isn't it?
Jack spent almost a quarter of a century growing up in jails and boys' homes. Then at age 33, he was finally free.
That was beautiful, to have that freedom again. To get parole, you had to have a job, and they got me a job on the TV doing things like pretending to be a police informer and all the things that I'm not. Division 4 cop shop, Matlock Police, homicide. These were things that were on the TV every week. You know how I got sacked? There was a scene in the back of a pub.
In the scene, a young Jack and the other actors are drinking around a barrel of beer.
And it's a real barrel.
"You're all missing the bloody point, I tell you. Reverend Hartley done what he's supposed to do. Got him off their bums out doing a bit of work.
They've got to take about 10 shots. And the director said, just have a sip, pour it out, have a sip, tip it out. And I said to you blokes, don't tip it out, don't you dare. Just fucking keep drinking. And we kept drinking and they think that... You know how stilted those shit was, that stuff. But this wasn't stilted. They were fair dinkum drunk.
Let me put it this way, Tegas. If everybody bloody person round here was as hard as some people I know, then we may as well all toss it in.
So they sacked me. So I fled to Queensland because I lost my parole.
Let's go to that video when they took you out of the restaurant. Why did you say this is democracy manifest? Is that a political statement?
At the time, everyone's talking about how wonderful democracy is. And maybe that could have been a political statement. Gentlemen, this is democracy manifest. As they got me around the throat and putting handcuffs on me.
Jack's arrest outside the Chinese restaurant is making more and more sense. He'd been a serial escaper, a fraudster, and a performer. I want to ask him more, but I can tell he's getting tired and wants to go. Maybe the cops had been after Jack. They might have sent a lot of police because they were worried he'd try to escape again. Also, he clearly had a criminal history. Who knows what he could have been wanted for? This would explain a lot. Except, why would the news report call him a petty criminal? I figure someone out there knows something. So I scour thousands of YouTube comments for snippets of information. Eventually, I come across a commenter who said their university lecturer was one of the detectives in the arrest video.
The cop in the red tie is my lecturer at Queensland University of Technology in Australia. He's now a professor in law school and showed us this video of his earlier career. I couldn't believe it.
I contact the university and after some convincing, I get the former detective on the line. His name's Dean. In the video, Dean's the one trying to order Jack into the car.
Sit down inside the car. We're not assuring anything. We're under arrest.
Look, I'm under what?
My partner and I at the time, we were sitting in the fraud squad on a Friday afternoon, and there's not usually that much happening in the fraud squad on a Friday afternoon. There certainly wasn't back in those days. We were probably planning which pub we were about to go to. The last thing we wanted to do was be involved in some dramatic incident on the streets.
They got a call to go down to Fortitude Valley to help some uniformed officers.
And turning the corner there at Chinatown in the valley to where the restaurant was and just being confronted by this wall of people and cameras. It was like they were behind barricades with police sort of manning the barricades. It was almost like a film set or something. So we went into the restaurant and there was heaps of other police. The uniformed inspector or whatever said to us, listen, we don't know what to do with this guy. For us, it was just a matter of working out what we could charge him with.
And what was the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
Yeah. He had like an American Express card and it was either forged or in the wrong name. So I suspect we charge him with forgery or something like that.
On the news they said police had been hoping to arrest one of Queensland's most wanted. And instead they got this guy. Who were they talking about, one of Queensland's most wanted?
I don't know where that would have come from. I mean, he wasn't Dillinger or anything like that, but he also wasn't just some fly-by-night guy. It wasn't though we were going, why did we go through all that drama just for a $70 skip check on a meal or something?
Yeah. Since then, the narrative now on the internet
yep.
is that you were hoping to catch Paul Dozer, the Dine and Dasher, and you ended up getting this guy, Jack Carlson.
Utter rubbish.
After struggling to get Jack into the car, the police took him to the watch house. But when Dean showed up for work the next morning, Jack was long gone.
He managed to talk them into thinking that he would be a safe bet to let out. It was a shock to us when we found out the next day that the watch house had let him out.
Jack ran off, and didn't show up to court.
Brisbane's credit card con man, picked up at a Valley restaurant a week ago, has gone to ground.
Anyone with information is asked to call Crime Stoppers.
From that point on, it was sort of a case of trying to track him down again.
Dean remembers the alleged credit card fraud being in the tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars. He staked out a Commonwealth Bank branch for days, hoping Jack would stop by.
I mean, he became a bit of an enigma in a way, the way he sort of disappeared. For someone who is such an accomplished actor like him, it seemed all perfectly set up for him to do his sort of scene in front of the camera.
So you're aware of his acting credits?
Oh, no, I'm not. It sounds like you're going to tell me something here.
Did you ever watch any of the old Crawford police shows?
Oh, I love Homicide. What are you going to tell me now? He did a bit part in that or something?
Yeah, he's in Homicide.
You're kidding me.
I tell you, I went in for two pots, that's all. I come out here, had to go back on me rounds, and me bloody car's gone.
Are you sure it was in this street?
Of course I'm sure. A man spends a fortune paying off his car. What, for some rotten galah to come along and knock it off? I know it's a free country and democracy and all that, but truth, how the hell?
Dean's sure they weren't in the Chinese restaurant to arrest Dozer or any other criminal. They were there to arrest Jack, which makes sense. Jack was using stolen credit cards, and the reason he won't admit it is that he skipped bail and never went to court. But I'm still no closer to understanding why a small army of police turned up. Or the media. Dean couldn't explain it either. But most of all, I want to understand why Jack acted like that. He says he was acting insane, but that doesn't make much sense. Is insanity even a defence for eating out on stolen credit cards? Why did he say those bizarre and hilarious lines that have become so beloved? Why was he delivering them like a thespian monologue? In our last interview, Jack mentioned acting on stage and talked about his bit parts on crime dramas. But when I play back the recording, I pick up on something I didn't notice before.
To get parole, you had to have a job, and they got me a job with Crawford. McNeil got me out.
McNeil. The name didn't mean anything to me at the time, but I find out he was a famous playwright who did all of his writing from prison. He was also an alcoholic and a fiercely vocal critic of the justice system.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
I book a flight to Queensland to meet Jack in person. It turns out everything he's told me so far is just the entree to the incredible story behind this succulent Chinese meal.
Next time in Rewind, you'll meet the playwright Jim McNeil, who introduced Jack Carlson to acting when they were cellmates in Parramatta Jail. And Lawrence solves the mystery of why Jack was arrested outside the Chinese restaurant.
He put on a great performance for the media, and I say a great performance because as soon as we got in the car and as soon as we drove away, he stopped and he actually said to us, "That was fun."
A Succulent Chinese Meal was written and produced by Lawrence Bull. The sound designer was John Jacobs and the supervising producer was Claudia Taranto. A Rewind production for ABC Radio National.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.